If you remember that great musical group, The Drifters, then you remember Ben E. King. They had something we like to call Uptown R&B, but we also like to call it soul. Here's the great Ben E. King.
In Spanish Harlem, the red roses are in Spanish Harlem. Oh, it is the special one. It's never seen the sun. It only comes out when the moon is on the run and all the stars are beaming. It's rolling on the street, right up through the concrete, but soft. Spanish Harlem.
Recording Spanish Harlem, which was really my first solo hit, the big one, I was in the studio, and most of the times that I was just there, either Lee Bustola or Phil Spector would come over and kind of carry me through the song, you know, just so we won't waste time in the studio. And I was waiting for one of them to kind of gear me in which direction to go with Spanish Harlem, because all this was totally new to me, basically, because the things that we were singing on the street, and even as the Five Crowns, it was basically things that we would learn from the Spaniels or things from the Five Keys or whatever popular group was going on at that time. And I was a flamenco fan, so I would learn all the flamenco songs or platters. I would learn the platters song. I was singing everybody's songs, so I was new to this new feeling of... And at that time, there wasn't a lot of Latin in black music. So when it came along with Spanish Harlems and to say the last end with the Latin flavor, I wasn't that familiar with it. So I always had to have them come and give me the feel of the song before really going to the mic to record. Phil Spector would come up and he would say one word to me. He says, "It's time." He never would say any more than "It's time." So I said, "It's time to what?" He said, and he'll wave to me and I'll go to the mic. And I thought I was going to rehearse. Now he'd bring a whole band in. Most of the time when he would record it, he would go in the corner alone and start playing the guitar. He was fantastic. And he'd get there with his microphone and start playing. And before you know, we was cutting, just like that, recording. I think we did it in two takes.
One of the most frequently asked questions in this business is, where are the new acts coming from? Well, they're coming from exotic places like Los Angeles. For example, there's a newcomer by the name of Mary Bond Davis. Now, she's been waiting in the wings for a number of years, soaking up influences like Sarah Vaughan, Aretha Franklin, and Bessie Smith. But Mary's been doing more than just listening. She's toured for 2 years with Ain't Misbehavin' and currently is in the musical Get Happy. So you want to know about the future of soul? Give a listen to Miss Mary Bond Davis. Certainties in life is the uncertainty of the music business. I mean, how can anyone know what record will have that special quality that propels it up to the top of the charts? Back in 1969, in the midst of the Motown soul explosion, a non-Motown record in a blues setting became a monster hit. The label was on Decar, distributed by Atlantic. The song was Can I Change My Mind? The Maverick was our next performer. Tyrone Davis. He enjoyed another monster hit with Turn Back the Hands of Time. It dealt with love, not daylight savings. And in the mid-70s, scored again with an R&B hit, Turning Point. Tyrone had always been the pride of Chicago with his well-known band, and now he was getting some well-deserved national recognition. His time had come, and now his time has come as far as this show is concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, my very good friend, Mr. Tyrone Davis.
Thinking about you. I do a show. You know, I don't go to do a show and monkey fool around. I don't do that. When I go on the stage, I go there to do what I got to do. And I tell you, I watch people like James Brown. And I have to say James Brown because this man, you know, my theory about James is this. If somebody said James Brown was in town, I don't say how was the show because I already know. Follow me? You know, so I just believe in that. And I work with people like B.B. King, and this is a man that always give all. And a couple of times I was working with him, he said to me, he said, I love the way you work. He said, well, he's kidding with me because he's a very nice man. I think you know that. He said, Tyrone, you always give me a hard time. He said, but I love it. He said, always remember this, you gotta always do that for your audience to love you. You know what I'm saying? You got to give all.
Well, we've heard a great deal of soul so far, and I'm still reluctant to try a definition of it. But if you've been listening carefully, certain roots are inescapable. Blues, gospel, plus another style which is a hybrid itself, rhythm and blues. Historically, you could say soul began in 1954. That symbolic date is chosen because that's the year the Supreme Court handed down its desegregation decision, Brown versus the Board of Education. And by the time that decade ended, black cultural awareness was on the rise, and a new kind of music came with it. Songs that seemed to say, give us what rightfully belongs to us, freedom and respect. When the marches and the demonstrations of the 60s began, a new soulful sound emerged, first as an obligato, but it soon took the lead. Great gospel shouters such as Mahalia Jackson and Clara Ward provided the foundation. Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson, James Brown, and Ray Charles helped to bring about the transition from rhythm and blues to soul by fusing R&B to gospel. The chemistry was there, the blend was infectious. And as early as 1955, Ray Charles had taken Clara Ward's gospel classic, This Little Light of Mine, and energized it by changing it to This Little Girl of Mine. Soul caught fire, and it burned with varying intensities. Soul could be uptown or down home. The sophisticated uptown sound could be heard in The Impressions, The Supremes, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, the Temptations, Otis Redding, Sam and Dave. And you could add Ike and Tina Turner to the ranks of down-home performers. And there was even a blue-eyed soul category, which accounted for the Righteous Brothers. We have living proof that there's another generation of performers out there ready and anxious to demonstrate that soul is indeed alive and well. Now, we don't want to give you the impression that Maxine Nightingale is a newcomer. I mean, she had a big hit back in 1976 on United Artists. It was called Right Back Where We Started From. And she had a big hit in London where she starred in Hair. And in Germany where she sang in Jesus Christ Superstar. Yes, the young lady did get around. No stranger to rock, pop, or disco, Maxine Nightingale brings a healthy fusion of styles to her soul searching, which means I'm right back where I started from. Soul is not a closed book. Here's one of its great sequels. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Maxine Nightingale.
Hey! Thank you very much.
You know, there's a great line in one of Tyrone Davis's hits that goes, I would like to start all over again. Baby, can I change my mind? Well, before Tyrone Davis changes his mind, we'd like him to start singing all over again. One more time for Tyrone Davis.
Yeah.
Brown, soulmates here once again, Mr. James Brown. To describe Gladys Knight and the Pips. Now, they're living proof that a family act can be a class act. This is a close-knit Atlanta family where everyone got up and entertained when they got together. It didn't take Gladys long. She was about 8 years old. And then she was joined by her brother Merrill and their cousins William Guest and Edward Patton, one of whom was nicknamed Pip. The name stuck, and so did the family tie. The only change was one of quality. PIP now stands for Perfection, in performance, and here's why. comes to soul music, the phrase oldies but goodies is almost redundant. What's past is a blast, a golden nugget, and you just dug it on the show that forgot to forget, and all types of things like that. Anyway, we have proof of both in the person of Mr. Rufus Thomas, one of the grand old funky gentlemen of soul. Rufus Thomas can look back on a varied career that ranges from a disc jockey in Memphis, I might say one of the nation's first black disc jockeys, to the Rufus and Bones minstrel show. He played in tents all over the South. Add that to the fact that he was recording for Sun Records at the same time during the early 50s when an unknown truck driver named Elvis was recording for that same label. The first big hit for Rufus came in 1963 when he recorded Walking the Dog for Stax Records. He remained animal orientated, you might say, with a bigger hit in 1970, Do the Funky Chicken. Hey, everybody, let it be known, Mr. Rufus is back in town and he ain't here to mess around. The one and only Mr. Rufus Thomas.